Right. Are we ready, Greg?
Selling stuff on Facebook.
Oh.
Joy.
All right. I'm ready when you are.
Right. Here we go. See if this works this week. See if we've got some music audio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Will you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody, you are live from the West Ring in Roseville, California, coming at you on the 31st of March, 2024. Happy Easter. It is show 778, also known as 778 of the Overseas Connection podcast. We're here to talk about video games. We're talking about life, talk about all kinds of things, including alcoholic beverages, because we are old enough to drink.
Woo-hoo! Thank God.
My name, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Yes, I said Twitter. On the show today, we have a fine cast of individuals that are willing to make the show and not run away with their spouse for some torrid affair. We have Miss Kim Woods on the podcast. Kim, howdy.
Wait, what spouse? I don't even have one of those, so that's not going to happen. Anyway, yep. Well, happy to be here. Happy Easter, everyone. And yeah. That's it for me.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm doing your community question. Well,
Multitasking.
Dang, you know, I know. I'm terrible.
All right. Okay. Also on the podcast today, not with his spouse because he values the show far more, Mr. Mark Wright. Mark, welcome to the show.
Happy Easter, Greg. Happy Easter, Kim. Happy Easter, all our beautiful listeners. Yes. It is not Bongo the Lame this week. It is me again.
Bongo, well done.
Bongo,
yes.
Bongo turned us down.
Yeah, you know, again, just me and Judith are going to be off doing something, you know, whatever. Go visit the Queen again. We don't care. Oh, you can't do that. Sorry. Bad form.
Well, you could visit her, but yeah.
Yeah, you know. We do this normally 8 p.m. in the UK, 12 p.m. in the West Coast, 3 p.m., 2 p.m. Central Time Zone, all that blah, 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 blah. But Easter happened, and the Easter Bunny, he required his commitments from us. So we pushed back an hour, and this allowed everybody to get to the podcast and have a lovely little show. So we're going to be on Twitch. We're going to be on YouTube. If you're joining us live, fantastic. We have a Discord. There's a link that we'll post at some point in time in the show notes, and you'll be able to join that Discord if you so choose. We definitely invite you to join us live, but we will put out an audio podcast as well. So this way you can catch us, you know, the recorded version or the old Memorex VHS version. We also have some birthdays to celebrate. Fraser Moores. Holy crap, that dude is old. He had a birthday yesterday. I mean, I think he's 52. I don't know. How old is Fraser Moores? Because he looks like he's 83, but I know he's not 83.
I'm not sure.
He might not even be pushing 50.
I think he's around our age. I think he's just a little bit younger than us.
He is. He's still a young whippersnapper. But and also Brian Hamilton, Rain God Zippo. On April 3rd, having a birthday. Not to be outdone, my son will be having his birthday next Sunday. Hint, hint.
All right. Okay.
April 7th.
This is going.
Yeah. So, but let's give them a little birthday song.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right. There we go. So, birthday's done. I suppose we can get into some story time, Mark.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
All right, I'm going to take the lead on story time.
Okie dokie.
And that is the plague completely took over this house over the past week. Colin was sick. Colin still has his congestion going on. Okay. Cindy was sick. And then I was the last Mohican. And on last week's show, I kind of said, hey, I felt it coming, right? Mm-hmm. It just completely hit me midway through the week. I'm coughing, yakking up all kinds of crap. Yeah. It was not a pretty sight. And as of yesterday, I like woke up and I'm like, I feel good. And so it was just kind of funny because I like jumped up, went to the gym, came back and started coughing some more. But I feel better. That's the most important part. I hate being sick. Nothing drives me more crazy, especially when it's like nasal congestion that just won't go away. And that's kind of what I'm suffering through right now. And on top of being sick, Thursday night at around 12:30, I get just a massive allergy attack from all of the pollen in the area around here. And so around 12:30 at night, I'm feeling like this, the tickle I get whenever I have an allergy attack, it feels like there's a feather just up in my nose. And I know that symptom. So I'm coughing, I'm sneezing. My wife is looking at me like I am just an alien creature, hot mess. And yeah. But again, done being sick. We have an update on the Fire Stick. So we have officially made the transition.
Right.
We're now using the Fire Stick only. So far, so good. Although, oddly, sometimes my TV, it's weird. I have to figure out, I don't know if I can do it or not, but on the Samsung TV, it has its own, you know, Wi-Fi tuner that it defaults to. Mm-hmm. And I want it to always just default to my home theater, but it goes to the stupid TV Plus channel every once in a while, which completely screws everything up, which I know how to navigate easy enough. But of course, the missus does not.
Right.
So my goal is to figure out how I get that completely shut off to where it just has the one input that's on. Everything else is turned off, including its own stupid internal thing. I don't know if I'm going to be successful on that because from what I see, it's one of those things that you can't really turn off, but you can do a lot of things to make it not do it as much. But every once in a while, it's still going to like just flip over to this input that's really not an input. It's just the TV's own internal input. Monday, the pool begins to be dug.
Oh, boy.
The big dig. Yeah. So we got informed last week. We're like, oh, shit. Okay. So we have to, like, move some stuff out of the way, obviously. Our garage is going to get crowded because everything from the backyard now that we had put, like, in a crowded little space because there's a little concrete patio there currently. We now have to take all of that and throw it in our garage so this way they can go back and just dig everything out. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the pool. It's happening. Also happening, not just my son's birthday next week. On Saturday, my mom, my aunt, was my sister's mom. Or my sister's... Wow. I could have screwed that up harder if I tried.
Wow.
So my mom and her sister...
There you go.
My aunt...
Right.
...will be here for 2 days... My wife's mother will be here for 2 days.
Hang on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And on top of that, I'm getting both of my sisters and their husbands here on Saturday. So, yeah, it's going to be a crowded house over the weekend, celebrating my son's birthday, getting everybody over here. And we don't even have the backyard done yet, which is the crazy part. So we're just all going to be stuck in the house. It's going to be a madhouse. Hence why I won't be on the show next week. Mm-hmm. This is why. Not just my son's birthday, but literally it's going to be a house full of old estrogen. I'm fearful.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I thought you'd want to be on the show, lock your door and
God.
A bit of escape.
Trust me. That may be one of the few times I actually tried a PC game. The problem is this room becomes a spare bedroom. Behind me is that spare bed. So yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me as I look on the top of that, I've been selling little bits and pieces of technology. I'm getting rid of all the stuff that was sitting in a box from our move that I'm like, you know what? I'm just not using this anymore. So my old Logitech camera, selling that off right now, as a matter of fact, $25. I'm like, done.
We can't talk and do something else, Kim, like you. We can't.
No. Apparently, I'm not selling the camera now. The guy's like, I didn't realize you were 45 minutes away. I told you I was in Roseville. Whatever. Anyway, people on Facebook Marketplace, that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But I am selling little bits and pieces off. Just, you know, get it out of the house. I don't care. You know, Logitech camera probably could have sold it for $40, but I'm like, just list it for 25. Somebody will buy it.
Right.
So I sold my little mini Stream Deck, the Elgato Mini.
Yeah.
Sold that off yesterday, $20. The guy was just like, sold, I'll take it. Like, yeah, of course you will. But anyway, so that's me. That's kind of catching everything up to date. What about you, Kim? What's been going on with you?
Oh, well, the weather's warmed up. I actually broke out the shorts yesterday and today. So shorts, flip-flops. It's almost, you know, summer, sort of. I don't know. I'm not freezing to death, so that's good. I don't know. I did some random house stuff this week. I reupholstered some chairs, which was not that difficult. But, you know, which my little handy-dandy screwdriver that I bought from Home Depot here a while back came in handy. Best $111 I've ever spent. But
$111?
Anyway. Oh, yeah. It's a Milwaukee screw gun.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because I got tired of the fucking screwdriver deal. I had one of those little, like, ratchet screwdriver things, and they were good for a while, but after a while, it couldn't. I was trying to put those things on the cabinet that now I can't remember what the hell they're called. But anyway, it did not work out so well, so I upgraded to the Milwaukee screw gun, and it's been the best thing I've bought in a while. So, anyway, okay. I used it to help reupholster the chairs. I got some fake leather from Amazon with a sticky on the back. All you gotta do is put it on there and, like, smooth it out, because I don't like the wrinkles, so, you know, smooth it out and flip it over and, you know, yada yada. So I did that, and then one of the outside cats, or a bunch of the outside cats, it's hard to tell, they tore a screen out of a window on our mudroom, so, which, it had never been changed, I think, since they were manufactured, so it was probably time for it to be replaced anyway. And I had to do that. The only thing is, the little rubber tubing that holds the screen in the frame was so dry, it was like the Sahara, and I couldn't get it out, so I had to soak it in some WD-40 and let it sit for 24 hours, and voila! They call it a spline, but I call it rubber tubing. Anyway, it come out, and I rescreened the window, and, you know, that's about it this week.
I appreciate using the proper terminology, the spline. It is the spline.
It is the spline, yeah.
Screening, surprisingly easy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but it feels very daunting when you first think about it. You're like, oh my God, how do I rescreen this? No, it's actually really, really easy.
Yeah, because I found out the hard way, because, well, when we got our new windows put in what is now the old house that are actually here now, they had lightweight screen in it. And I have cats, so you can imagine how long that shit lasted. So I had to go on online, get some pet screen that is a little heavier, and that's what I did one summer, was go around and rescreen all the windows in the house. And yeah, at first I was like, there's no fucking way I can do that, and there's a guy in town that does it. But the more I looked at it, I'm like, you know what, it's not such a hard job. And so that's what I did, and I've been doing it ever since. The only upgrade I think I did was I bought a razor knife this last time, and that makes it a heck of a lot easier to cut all the excess off, so you actually look like you have a nice window instead of, you know, right. You have to watch it with scissors, because you can't get close enough with scissors, and then you've got little, like, lumpy bits or whatever from where you cut it crooked, and, or if you're like me, you cut it too short, so then you got to pull a screen out and start all over again. So, yeah, it was nice. So
I bought a spline tool, which it looks like a little pizza cutter.
Yep.
And it makes things much easier.
Yeah, definitely. I agree there. I've got a little wooden handle, and I wouldn't give it up for anything. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of relaxing, these little home improvement kind of things. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me and I'm weird. Because this week, I have one of those pull-out cabinets that's got the trash cans in it. They've got the slides that, you know, you pull it out and push it back. I've got to replace the slides because I broke them here, months ago. But then I don't know how old they are, so they're probably ancient anyway. So I bought new slides. So this week, I'm going to replace the slides in the cabinet. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been fun. Home Improvement Corner with Kim Woods.
Right. So anyway, that's it for me.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Mr. Mark Wright, what's been going on with you? Any angry man rants? Man rants? No,
it's been a fairly quiet, steady week, really. I've also bought a new Milwaukee tool this week, Kim.
Oh,
To go with my largest collection.
No.
I know. It's a Soldier 9. I got the Milwaukee Soldier 9.
Oh, nice.
So I've got loads of batteries, so I just bought the bare tool. My Soldier 9, I had a gas-powered one. Wait, you fill it with a gas light fluid stuff. But that broke. I've had that years. So, I took the plunge.
I just got to say this real fast. It actually surprises me. Milwaukee tools being over in the UK.
They're very popular here. Mechanics love Milwaukee. Compared to, you've got some diehard Snap-on fans, but I don't like the Snap-on cordless tools. They're not as good. But I've got the big half-inch drive impact gun for getting, wheel nuts off. You call them lug nuts, don't you? And that thing is so powerful. I've had a Snap-on Blue Point air gun for years, and I used to call that powerful. This thing puts it to shame. I never thought a battery-powered tool could be so powerful. I have to be careful because if I've got an old rusty bolt, this thing will just shear it. It'll just shear it straight off. So it's that powerful. It's absolutely amazing. So I've got I mentioned the other week what I've got. I've got the big half-inch gun. I've got a half-inch stubby, 3/8 stubby. I've got the battery ratchet. I've got a hacksaw thing with it. And now I've got the soldering iron. So my next one is the cutoff tool. I've got an air-powered cutoff tool at the moment.
Right.
So I want a Milwaukee one of them next. It's just so expensive. That's the only
problem. Yes, they are. But it's nice when you have enough batteries, and so you don't have to buy batteries. You just buy the tool because it's in batteries that they get you with in the end. Yeah. So.
Well, I've actually bought third-party batteries, and they work really well.
Right.
So, tool time with Mark and Kim.
Right.
There we go.
Not really done much. We actually watched Aquaman 2 last night.
So,
okay.
And it's not too bad. It's enjoyable. You know what I'm like with movies. I'm quite easygoing. So we enjoyed it.
We've heard that about you.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. It's more Aquaman. It's a shame they went with the same bad guy as the last movie, but it kind of works. It's got a bit of a twist in it, so it kind of works. Amber Turd is in it more than I thought she'd be, so
we're not a fan,
no, not after what happened with Johnny Depp. Popularity has gone down big time on it, but it's worth a watch if you've got access to it as well.
All right, Aquaman 2 worth the watch.
That's about it, really.
Okay,
better time off for Easter. Play with the kids.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of, I didn't watch any shows this week, you know.
No, I haven't.
Bad Batch was done. Halo was done.
Yeah. We started one, what Snoogans recommended. So remember the Netflix movie, The Gentleman, with the London gangsters? Mm-hmm. There's now a series called The Gentleman, and it's like a spin-off of it. And it is linked to the movie. And we watched episode one of that. Really good. It's got quite a shocking ending to episode one.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about more about when I get into a few more episodes. But nice recommendation, Rob. Thank you very much. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of shows to watch on Netflix.
Yes.
If you ever get into food shows, you know, where they're like traveling the world type thing and trying different places. There's a show called Feeding Phil. All
right.
It is. So the guy, Phil. Is actually, I think he was the executive producer on Seinfeld, and he's done a number of other very popular TV sitcoms. So he's made his money, and now he's created this TV show where he just goes all across the world to different countries, cities, and just goes hog wild over food. And it's not the typical going all to the best restaurants. He goes to the greasy diners. He eats the local stuff. He eats all the crazy things, but he has such an enthusiasm for doing this. It's at first I thought it was like him just kind of putting on a show, but no, he's genuinely this just infectious, enthusiastic foodie. And he just gets into it and he just loves his food. So I've just become addicted to it. Just watching episode after episode, and it makes me hungry at times. It makes me repulsed because of some of the stuff he'll eat,
right?
There's just a charm to it. I really enjoy it. It's not you don't have to think about it. It's just you can put it on and just kind of enjoy it in the background. So Somebody feed Phil. It also cool. always makes me think of our Phil.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Although somebody he has more hair. Phil. You know.
Yeah. Well, true.
And this guy looks like he eats more meat.
Yep. Mr. Matthew also agrees. And it's he's the Anthony. He's the nerdy Anthony Bourdain. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Feed Phil is amazing. Agreed. Okay. Cool. I guess that's everything. Oh, by the way, you know what? Actually, on the tool time, uh-huh. I totally forgot. I put together a giant shiplap world map.
Oh, of course.
With
yeah.
dinosaurs oh, yeah, yeah, on yeah. it. Yeah. Yeah, totally yeah. forgot about this. So my wife had this amazing idea. She found this online. It was a world map that basically had, it showed, you know, the world, but then it had all these different dinosaurs dotted across the map. And my assumption is, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but that these dinosaurs were actually, you know, this is kind of where they cohabitated or where you would find them more than other places within the world.
Right.
So it was just kind of a cool map, but we thought, well, instead of just putting it on the wall, because they were stickers, basically, instead of putting this map on the wall, let's create like a wooden mural, and you've got it up on the video right there. Yeah. And so we went and got redwood shiplap. I cut it down, mounted it onto some supports, and then wall mounted it. I sanded it all down. I lacquered it up. It was quite the little project, but then actually applying the stickers, that was the hardest part.
Right.
Because imagine as you look at that world forever. Map,
yeah.
all of that is on one giant sheet.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Peeling all of this off and then placing it. However, when you look at that map, understand that Asia and Africa were all attached. So you're peeling it all off and then having to apply it without screwing it up. It was right. it was a task. And I'm pretty sure at one point or another, my wife wanted to kill me numerous times because, of course, as we're applying things or as we're trying to do things, you know, I'm coming up with my brilliant ideas on how to counter do it. Uh-huh. And some worked, some didn't. But we got it all done. Turned out great. And now that hangs in my son's room and is part of his dinosaur-themed room. And his room now complete. We're done with his room. We're now moving on to the rest of the house.
Very cool.
We've only been here for 3 months, but that's the one room that's actually complete.
If it makes you feel better, I've been living here 7 years, and I don't think we have one room that's fully complete. So, you know.
I feel slightly better. I do.
Yeah, right?
Thank you.
I mean, I just put a doorknob on my closet like weeks ago after Mark bitched years ago when I moved it. You're going to put a doorknob on your closet? Well, I fucking did it finally. So there you go.
And now you smack the doorknob every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, now
you
I smack back. It with my yeah. elbow whenever I podcast.
I'm thanks, like, Mark. all right, let's talk. Do we have a question? We do have a question here. What is the question from the community, Mark?
So Mr. CP Matthew has put, what is your least favorite part of traveling and why is it flying?
Wow. So that's a great question. That actually is a tremendously timely question because actually April 9th and 10th, I'm going to New York. So I will have a lot of thoughts about it. I have a lot of thoughts about traveling. Flying is a big part. I don't hate flying, though. I really don't. I don't like flying as a family. That to me is
oh,
a
yeah,
task.
That. Right.
Although, in fairness, we have a saying here, Colin pays his ways, and because Colin is severely disabled... even if we're flying Southwest, we get on the plane first. We never have to worry about the lines. In fact, when we went to Mexico, that disastrous trip, the one bright spot was that we got to customs and the guy saw us with Colin and he pulled us out of line and pushed us through an hour long customs line in 10 minutes. So traveling with Colin definitely pays its way, but I would say for me, the thing I least like about traveling, it is the time changes. And it's because I do a lot of East Coast, West Coast traveling. So the time changes are the hardest thing. And it's not for what you think. I deal with it personally fine. Like tiredness wise, because I could sleep on a plane, so I adjust my clock accordingly. What pisses me off, though, is if I'm traveling out to the East Coast for meetings, I always pretty much have to leave the day before the actual meetings, because there's no flight that will get me out early in the morning unless I do a red eye, which is no fun, out to the East Coast in time. So, like, I can't say, you know, I can't leave at like 6 a.m. and get to New York before noon. It just, there's no flights that do that. You will be there at like 1 p.m. if you're lucky. Right. So yeah, it's the time changes and just the inconvenience of having to go to different time zones.
Because the UK is about the size of some of your fucking counties in some of your states. Like this stuff, what you're talking about now, we never experienced that. Like time changes, time zones in your own country. Wow. Like I can get to my East Coast or West Coast in an hour and a half. I'm bang in the middle. I can get to Blackpool in an hour and 20. I can get to Bridlington in an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. North and South is a bit different, like, but yeah. So, but yeah, for me, flying is a rarity because it's very rare we fly in the UK unless we're going abroad on holiday. So flying's a treat for us, because if you're flying somewhere, that means you're going away on a good time. It's, no one really flies for work unless you're Robin and you're flying from Ireland to the UK for business meetings, which it won't be anymore, will it? But yeah, that's what I used to do. So yeah, so flying's a bit of a treat for us, for me personally. The worst thing about traveling for me is the daily commute and the traffic. I hate sitting in traffic, and I hate idiots on the road. Really, I'm getting back to the grumpy old man. The older I get, the less patience I have, and I'm getting more and more angry in the car. So yeah, I need to watch my blood pressure, really. So yeah, traffic for me. Yeah,
daily. Kim, what about you? Any? I mean, I don't know how much traveling you do.
Right. I mean, you know, for me, like, all right, I don't really fly that much because, I mean, you know, I don't go anywhere. Usually. For me, it's basically just the traveling part. Like, we have to go 4 hours, like, we drop the boys off to go see their dad. So, for me, it's, like, just the getting there and then getting back, you know, because I get car sick. So, if I'm not careful and I don't take my Dramamine, it's just miserable for me because I get queasy and I get a headache and I get sleepy. And then that pisses my sister off because she's wanting somebody to go along that can kind of keep her motivated while she's driving so she doesn't get bored, you know, what have you, or help with directions, whatnot. So, yeah, for me, I think it's just mostly the traveling bit, being stuck in a car for so many hours or whatever the hell it is. Because, yeah, like I said, I get car sick, so I got to make sure and take Dramamine so I don't get sick. So, I mean, otherwise, usually, as long as I make sure and take the medicine before we go, it's you know, I can put up with it. But, yeah, it's, I don't know, maybe I am agoraphobic or something, but it really is just the having to leave the house and go on the, you know, go the 4 hours or 5 hours or whatever it is. Because also, I live out in the middle of BFE, so to get anywhere, it's hours. So,
right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I could see getting car sick would suck. Mm-hmm. If I read in a car, like I can read on a plane, no problem. But if I read in a car.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't read or stare at my phone or any of that. I have
a 30-minute window.
If I sit in the back of a car, it affects me more.
Really?
I have to sit in the if I'm sat in the front and I'm looking out the windscreen, I'm okay as a passenger. In the back, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can't look at my phone or read. Even looking at my phone in the back of a car, it makes me
right.
Wow. Okay. You know, but the other thing, by the way,
very rare.
Little side note on the traveling thing. The other thing that really annoys, and it's not annoys, but it's the one thing that I hate about traveling, it's the having to pack.
Yeah.
Because you have to pack everything down into this suitcase. And typically speaking, let's face it, we all try and shove as much shit as we can into our small suitcase. Mm-hmm. We get to wherever we're going, we take everything out, and then we have to try and shove it all back in. And God forbid you actually get some additional stuff to shove into that suitcase. That was actually the problem I ran into with the UK when I came out to visit you guys, is I did not account for, oh, I'm probably going to have a bunch of shit I'm bringing back.
Right.
So yeah, that's another annoyance of traveling.
Right.
So there we go. Flying is the least of the problems, CP Matthew.
Right.
Take that. All right. I suppose we can talk about the games of April because we know what they are. Kim,
We have another community question.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, Lord popped it in there at the last minute. That's what I was doing when the show started.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's hear it.
So Lord has put, which is your favorite Easter egg? And today is being with the kids to a scarecrow hunt, which is basically a tour of a village checking out homemade scarecrows. And this year it was Disney themed. Have you got any community things like this around you? So my favorite Easter egg is a Toblerone one. There's a funny diamond shaped Toblerone one. So yeah, Jenny's got me one of them this year. But yeah, no, we've not got anything right around in my bit of West Yorkshire. Not like Lord is in West Yorkshire as well, but yeah. No, we ain't got all like that.
I mean, I have to admit, I feel like touring scarecrows a bit not Eastery.
No, it seems like,
just going to throw that out right? there. I just like a good old fashioned hard boiled Easter egg. Wow. I love hard-boiled eggs, so that would be my favorite Easter egg.
I'll be darned. I like anything that's got chocolate. So, as a matter of fact, I just got some Easter cookies because I thought we were going to have something this weekend, and then we didn't. So I've got like 2 dozen sugar cookies frosted, and they're in Easter egg shape. So I like those too. So, I don't know. Give me all the sugar, I guess. For events, we did have two Easter egg hunts here this weekend. My brother and his... Don't laugh, but my brother and his motorcycle group had one Easter egg hunt, like just down the road here in a park. And then some towns, I don't know if they're towns like council people or what, but they put one on up on the square. So yeah, right. Easter egg hunts. That's pretty much about it. We don't do anything else. I mean, a lot of the churches do things because of course, Easter God and all that. So the churches do some things. I don't know exactly what all they are, like breakfasts and things like that. So there's a few things depending on what you're into. So
well, good to see the local Hell's Angel chapter doing an
Easter egg.
That's nice. All right. There we go.
Yeah. So no.
Let's talk about some games then.
Alrighty, we can do that. I have a few. Alrighty, we have your free games for April. Already, I'm on the ball this week. For your PlayStation Plus games for April, we have Immortals of Avium for the PS5, of course, because I bought that like 3 months ago when it was down to $8 on Xbox. Minecraft Legends, believe it or not, for the PS4 and PS5, and then Skull, the Hero Slayer for the PS4. That's for your PS Plus for April. And for your Prime games for April, we have The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, Game of the Year Edition Deluxe. Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for Neighborville. I like Plants vs. Zombies games. I highly recommend those if you haven't played them. Especially for kids, because Anthony enjoyed them. Yeah. Monkey Island 2, Special Edition, LeChuck's Revenge. Nanotale, Typing Chronicles, which I think has been on here before, but I could be wrong. Guild of Ascension, one that I kind of like, but I got stuck on a part and I haven't went back to, which is Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. It's kind of a quirky little thing. Galaxy of Pen and Paper, and House of 1,000 Doors, Family Secrets. Oh my. Wonder what kind. And then, for your Epic Game Store, from March 28th to April 4th, Islets? Something. So, there you go. That was the only thing I could find for Epic.
Go with Islets.
Islets. So, there you go, your free games for the month. Or at least, you know, most of the month.
Speaking of tax evasion, by the way, I get to do my mom's taxes and apparently my aunt's taxes as well next weekend.
Oh, you're going to have a grand old time.
Oh, yeah.
You're all full of
all
fun.
All kinds of fun. Uh-huh. All right. Let's dive into what we've been playing. Kim, we'll have you go first because I have a feeling Mark and I are going to have a lot to say.
Oh, my. All right. Let's see. There's some new things on my list this week. Evil West being one of them. After hearing about you talk about it last week with... what was his name? JSS Lifelike.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
I thought, well, it's on Game Pass. I've already bought it. before Game Pass. I might as well see what all the fuss is about. And you know what? I like it. And it's got co-op, so I've got Boomer talked into playing with me at some point. Yeah, Evil West. It's not, I don't know, it's not Red Dead Redemption 2 good necessarily, but it is more of a, I don't know if you want to say, comic cowboy sort of thing, because I haven't really come across anything funny, but it's not, I don't know, there's vampires.
It's over the top, but I mean, yes. you're fighting, well, you're a vampire yourself, aren't you not?
I don't remember. Think what? So, no. You're just a vampire fighter. Yeah. So you're fighting vampires because of a, I haven't figured out if it's a government society or it's just one that you've started, whatever the hell the deal is. But anyway, it is good. I do like it. You have this big heavy gauntlet that you use to punch things, whether it's vampires or like open a chest because there's money that can be found.
Them as well? Is it a shooter or is it just punching?
Yes, it is just a shooter. Action? So far, I've got a pistol and a rifle, and apparently there's a minigun at some point, or a Gatling gun, whatever you want to call it. The only thing I don't like about it is because there's two of you, and God forbid, I can't remember their names. I swear, I did like this game. It's just new. Anyway, your partner doesn't seem to do much. Unless, of course, you're playing co-op. And then, of course, your friend will obviously do more. But at the moment, like, every once in a while, he would pop up and, like, shoot a guy. But otherwise, it's pretty much just you while your partner stands there watching you kill, like, a ton of vampires. Because, like, there was one part, there was, like, two of the big vampires and then a bunch of the, I don't know what you want to call them, the little vampires. And
call them minions.
Minions, thank you. There's the word. I can't come up with words today, so you're just going to have to bear with me. And anyway, the two big vampires and their little minions, and he just stood there and watched me while I got my ass handed to me multiple times before I finally, you know, figured out what I was trying to get accomplished, and I cleaned out the room. So, I don't know, but it is fun, and it is on Game Pass. It's free.
Looks nice and bloodthirsty.
All right. Exactly.
I got a bit of a Bulletstorm vibe as well watching
the video. Yes, that's what I was
precisely
going for.
What I was getting, yeah.
Yes, because you got different, different weapons.
Environmental things you can
different
throw.
I have it downloaded. I've been itching to try it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's co-op too, so that was kind of nice for me. So.
All right.
It might give me a change of pace from playing COD all the damn time. Speaking of which, Shipment 24/7 is back, so I played a bunch of that this weekend because it's also double XP. So I leveled up. I went from, I think I jumped like 10 or 12 levels just this weekend. So I don't know. I'm a masochist, I guess, because I enjoy Shipment and all the chaos and destruction and the fact that I get killed like 50 times. I don't know. So, you know, Shipment 24/7, it's back for a little while because of my luck, I'll get to liking it again and they'll pull it out. So away it goes. Anyway, another one on Steam Deck, as a matter of fact, and it's also free, is Sheepy, A Short Adventure. It's free. It kind of reminds.
Real quick, Kim, in the chat, by the way, Mr. Matthew said you have to take the Mysterious Stranger perk at level 10. It's under luck. Then your partner will help out.
Thank God. Well, I've got a ways to go because I don't think I'm close to level 10 yet, but we'll see.
All right, okay.
Thank you. I didn't know that. That's good. Right.
So it's not just you. He is officially useless up until level 10 when you unlock the perk.
Right. Well, I was a little worried he was going to be that way the whole game, and all I could sit there and think is, then what's his point other than be a color commentator? Because every once in a while he'll shout something at you, and it's like, well, that's not really helping me, but thanks. So anyway, back to Sheepy, which is free on Steam. It does say it's not supported by the Steam Deck, but I did some finagling and some back-end fiddling, if you will. And I got it to work on my Steam Deck. And I think you're a stuffed sheep. I don't think you're an actual sheep, but I think you're a little toy sheep. And you're stuck in this facility, and apparently there's some creepy something has escaped. Kind of like Carrion. I don't know if anybody played Carrion or not. But there's a little monster or something that's running loose in this facility, and you're a sheep trying to take care of it. And it's not really a short adventure, because I've been playing it for a while now, and I still haven't got to the end yet. So, yeah, Sheepy. It's free on Steam. I liked it. Like I said, it will play on Steam Deck. You've just got to finagle with it a little bit to get some settings to work, but it will work. Boba Bar. I played a little more of that. I don't know. Still selling boba tea to cats, so there you go. I fired up Lightyear Frontier again, and I tried to like it, or to figure out if I was going to like it, and it's just not for me. It just, no. So.
Yeah, when you're at that point with a game and you're like, I'm trying to see if I'll like this game, you kind of already know.
Right.
It's just, yeah. And that was me when I just booted it up. I mean, I got into the tutorial and I was just like, yeah, I know.
Right.
Even though it has mechs and that had it's me excited. It's not enough.
Yeah. It's not enough. It's not enough Titanfall for me, I guess. I don't know. But no, I tried it. Maybe one of these days when I'm looking for something that doesn't have anything in it that might kill me and I just want to relax. Maybe. But everybody tells me that about like Minecraft and shit too, and all that does is put me to sleep. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's not my thing. So anyway, that's it for me this week. So
all right. Yeah. Him officially not a farmer.
Not even though I live on one, so go figure.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it, Kim. Maybe it's because you are on a farm. Yeah, because
I don't play Farming Simulator either, because that's just more like real life. So
exactly. All right, Mark.
Yeah. So this holiday weekend being a long weekend for us, I had Friday off and I've got tomorrow off. So I've been playing a lot of Fortnite with the grandkids and Jay. So yeah, we've had some good games, got a few wins. I always play no build mode. I can't do the build mode.
I don't mind. I can't do it either.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm playing it on PC now as well. So doing the old keyboard and mouse rather than on console. And I'm liking that. Yeah, it's quite good. It's a bit better for aiming, especially with the snipers. And I find it easier to move and shoot, whereas on control, I find it when I'm shooting, I'm standing still and making myself like a bit of an easy target. So yeah, doing quite well with that. I quite like it. It's a good laugh with the kids. Like I said, Riley is what, 11 now. He's just so good at this game. We did a bit. Lily's 12 and she was getting a bit mouthy, saying, oh, calling me old and all that lot. And I said, so Riley said, oh, why don't you 1v1? So I said, yeah, come on then, 1v1. And I absolutely hammered her 10-0 in this, like, you can do creative mode to 1v1. And then Riley took on both me and Lily, right? And he hammered us 9-1.
Oh.
Yeah, we got absolutely slaughtered. He schooled us completely. He's like jumping around shooting and I couldn't even focus on it with him. But yeah, so that was good fun. I'll talk about that one later when we...
Right.
Because you want to talk about it, don't you? So me and Jay jumped in some Halo Infinite with you guys on Wednesday night.
Yep.
Yep, died a lot.
you know, it was fun. We had six, so we ended up doing 3v3 private matches.
Yeah.
Just had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good laugh. Yeah,
just a good laugh.
Yeah. Gosh, Snoogans is so good at this game. But yeah, we started doing the swap mode, didn't we? I sort of like I got the hang of that one. I liked the swap mode. I got pretty good at that one. But the rest of the game modes, I was just useless. I was always at the bottom of the list, bottom of the scoreboard. But yeah, it was good fun. It's good laugh. A lot of good banter with everyone, with Martin and Greg and that. It's a shame Lewis wasn't on his mic. Saturday,
I know he was Silent Bob for that show.
he kept putting stuff in the chat mode, didn't he? So that was funny.
Yes, he made sure we knew he was there, and he held his own, so it was good.
Yeah. So last week I mentioned after watching Halo Season 2 on TV, I was playing Halo Master Chief Collection. I played the Combat Involved, the Anniversary Edition, and I was getting frustrated with that last level. The more where you're in the hot warthog, fired it up this morning, did it first go.
Isn't that always how it works?
Yeah, yeah, because I wasn't wound up. I just thought, right, fuck it, I'll just have a go. Yeah, first go, did it, no problem. Yeah, so Halo CE, done. Halo 2 started that. I never played that on the old original Xbox. We had it because Jay.
Are you playing the Anniversary Edition?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. So you get like the nice cutscenes, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So if you press the back button, you can see the original graphics. Oh my god, that's what shocking. A difference! Yeah, yeah. But Halo 2, I'm really enjoying it. It's good. Just done the mission where you take down that big scarab thing. So yeah, it's good. Liking that, and I didn't know that in that one you play as the Arbiter. Spoilers for a 20-odd-year-old game, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, really good. I'm enjoying that. So I'll be carrying on with that. I think I'm going to go through them all in chronological. I'll do Halo 3 next, then ODST, then Reach, and then Halo 4 again. So yeah,
there you go.
Quite a few achievements popping. So yeah, that's my
Halo. As I think back, I remember ODST. I did not like ODST because I didn't feel it felt different enough.
I don't know.
To the Halo
you,
games.
You weren't a true Spartan, were you? You were a shock trooper.
Right, yep. You were an ODST, yeah, ODST trooper. Yeah, yeah, it still just felt like
more
you
of
were...
a health issue than a shield right. issue. Yeah, it's good. But the difference with ODST is, and like, is in the chat, Mr. Matthew. When they launched that firefight mode, we played a lot of firefight mode. It was like a horde mode.
Yeah.
And we played a lot of that.
So. I love firefight mode. That was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my Halo fix. So all the big game we've been playing, me and Greg, is Dragon's Dogma 2. Now, last week, I was mixed on it. I wasn't too happy with it. So I changed my vocation, which is my character's main skill set. So I was a fighter. I changed to the thief, which is like the rogue.
Right.
And completely different game. I'm enjoying it now. I'm not struggling as much. The stamina's lasting a lot longer. I'm more nimble and mobile. The two dagger moves, the completely different moves to the fighter. I've no shield this time, but some of the moves are just really fun. And when your extra skill set moves where you press a bump and you get some extra moves, one of them is like when you spin up in the air and you're spinning with your blades out. It's just such a cool move. So yeah, I'm liking that. I changed my pawn because my pawn was a thief, so there was no point having me as a thief and a pawn. So I changed my pawn originally to an archer, but then I changed it again so I could hire Cynthia, which is Greg's pawn. So now my pawn is a mage, so she can heal me because the mages are really useful in this.
I hired Jenny, Jen Pawn.
Jen Pawn, yeah.
My mage.
Yeah. Nobody's got the plague yet.
No. So yeah, so Cynthia, sadly, she was only level 9. So I had her in my crew for quite a while, but I had to let her go because as I was leveling up, your hired pawns don't level up with you.
Right.
So I've had to let her go, but I'm hoping now she's gone back to you. If I hire her again, she'll be a higher level.
Yeah.
Because I've just hit level 20, so it was making a big difference.
She I need to put a little time in for to level us up, apparently.
Yeah, she was dying a lot, so I had to pick her up a lot. But yeah, very aesthetically pleasing, very lifelike. It's amazing how the cheekbones and everything, it's just spot on.
I spent way too much time designing her. and the funny thing, so one thing about this, the outfits in Dragon's Dogma 2 kind of make me laugh a little bit because you have...
Have you got the one with like little pants and the ass?
Well, because they don't have like a section for pants and boots. It's just boots.
Yeah.
But the boots and pants are connected.
Yeah.
And some boots have pants and some boots don't have pants.
Don't have pants, yeah, yeah.
So currently Cindy is running around in boots with no pants. I made sure she also has a corset on that has a little cleavage going. So, you know, if she sees me playing this, I will probably get a ration of shit.
When I first saw it, I couldn't believe the lifelikeness of it. You did a really good job there. I've currently got I came across, so every now and again, you come across a broken rift stone. If you go to it, it actually recommend. It has a unique pawn. So this was a level 25 archer. So that's when I sort of like had to part ways with Cynthia. So this level 25 pawn is now, and the three of these, you know, it doesn't cost you any of the rift crystals. So I've got a level 25 archer in my crew now, which is higher level than me. So they're really good.
Right.
But I'm hoping, I've done quite a few missions, so I'm hoping Cynthia's now going to help you, guide you to some chests.
Well, that's the fun missions. Part. So you get these pawns, and I was noticing, so I hired, obviously, Jen Pawn, but I also hired another community, there's another pawn that I hired into my crew.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is I've been kind of funny about this game. I've been very, skittish about getting outside of the walls.
Right.
And so I've been doing a lot of the missions that are central or in the castle area. But I finally am like, okay, I feel like I'm my crew is ready. I'm ready to start venturing out. And so I started venturing out into some of the surrounding area, but it's very like, I'm just not going for it. I think Mark, you kind of went for it. You just went adventuring and you paid the price for it.
Yeah.
Me, I've been taking my time, just, you know, a little expanding circle, if you will. But, I got out and I noticed one, the pawn I'd hired multiple times. She's like, oh, there's something around here. I could show you if you want.
Yeah.
And as long as you hit go, or the command go to your pawn. Within a relatively short period of time after they say that phrase or one of those phrases, they will then escort you to whatever they're trying to find.
They become the party leader. They have a little hand symbol on next to
like,
their
follow
name.
Follow me.
Yeah.
But also, there's been a few times where they're like, oh, this is interesting. My master hasn't found this yet. I'll have to tell them about it.
Yeah.
And that to me is this great like dynamic to this game of like you're now helping somebody else when they get their pawn back.
Yeah. The fighter in my crew now is a male. Well, it's a beastron, but it's a male beastron. So I don't get the, all your crew's female. All that fucking Snyder comments. But I am getting a lot of, why are you running everywhere? Why do you have to run everywhere? Because I've got more stamina now. But don't like it when I run everywhere.
yes, Mark, you need to enunciate better. Pawn. So this game is getting a patch.
Yeah.
We'll talk about I think, in the news section. It hasn't dropped on Xbox yet, or maybe it has now, but it hadn't for Friday. But they're going to be doing they're capping the frame rate. Right. They're adjusting some other things.
It's an option now. You can cap at 30 or you can just leave it as it is.
It doesn't bother me too much.
I think I will cap it because it's up and down like a yo-yo. So
honestly, what scares me about this game is the whole dragon plague thing, because I know that's going to happen to me at some point.
Yeah, so dragon's plague, just so to those that don't know, it's a disease that affects the pawns. And
if they fought a dragon, they can catch it.
They can catch it. They don't automatically catch it.
No.
But they can catch it. And the only way you can tell if they have it is, I guess, in the loadout screen. If you look at them, you'll see that their eyes will glow red. Randomly.
Only intermittently, though. And also, they will start sometimes, occasionally, they'll hold the head in pain. Or they'll sort of like struggle a bit and they have to be helped. And they'll start disobeying commands.
Right.
So you'll say, help me, or go here, or wait. And we'll say, I'm not doing that sort of thing. That's how you can tell.
Well, and I was going to say, so you may be asking, well, what's the big deal if they catch Dragon's Plague? What happens is when you rest in a town, whatever town you're resting in, basically Dragon's Plague takes them over and they become basically this wraith dragon thing that kills the entire town.
Everyone in the town.
Everyone. All the NPCs. So it could be
quest givers, everything.
So
now I've heard that they do, after about a week's in-game time, they do come back. So people must be like bringing them back with the wake stones. I think they're called wake stones, aren't they? So yeah, eventually they do come back. So it's not totally game breaking, but initially people thought it was completely game breaking.
Right.
So,
but and it's this wrinkle. They don't talk about it at all.
Right. I watched a video of it on YouTube. God, it's scary.
It's like people have just started discovering it.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing about this game is just discovery. And that's, I think, the theme. Okay, so Mark, how would you describe Dragon Age 2? Or sorry, Dragon's Dogma 2. Dragon Age 2. Dragon's Dogma 2. In comparison to other games. What would be your comparison?
So it's got a little bit of Skyrim to it. It's got a little bit of Fallout to it with the different groups. I don't know. It's quite unique with the pawn system. But there's no skill tree as such for leveling up. You can assign skills, you can unlock skills, but you can't.
You don't get attribute points.
You don't customize your character as much as what other RPGs. But this is like that in the first game, and the first game, I loved the first game. So if you liked the first game, you're going to love this. For other people, it's a bit of a steep learning curve. It doesn't hold your hand as much.
I feel like it is, and I think Fallout's a good reference, but Elden Ring and Skyrim with a smattering of Fallout.
Yeah.
And the Elden Ring part of it is because you're fighting these big monsters.
Yeah.
That you will come across, and they can absolutely decimate you.
Oh yeah.
And the game has a save system, and it's different than Elden Ring's, but in some respects it is similar. It's an autosave system, so when you have to reload, you're going to reload to the last time you saved, which likely is where you last camped or where you last slept at an inn. You can hard save, and that will only get you so far. You can't save scum this game at all. I found that out the hard way. I tried doing that, and I literally lost because I said, take me back to the last time I slept at an inn.
Yeah,
and so, I lost you've got like two options. Six levels.
You've got your game save, and then your in save. So if you save at a campsite, but then if you reload your in save, it takes you way back.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I will say this, and this is what I loved about this game and what I still love about this game. So I in my adventuring outside of the castle walls, I came across an area where this game has great draw distance. So you can see really far away. You can see like enemies on the horizon. And I saw there were some kind of like lizard men looking creatures. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go fight them. That was my, I'm like, okay, I'm on this bridge. I can see them off to the right, just past a big wheat field where a bunch of oxen were. And so I travel out to the lizard men. I fought them, killed them. And then I turn it, and I had heard some ruckus, but I didn't really pay attention to it within the fighting. It sounded different than what was happening with the lizard men. And I kind of start adventuring around the area. I discover some dead oxen. And I'm like, all right. Interesting. And another one. And it's like in a line. Like now I'm like, okay, I'm like, what am I going towards? And then I see a shadow fly over the top of me.
Oh, yeah.
And then a big thump. And there's a griffin killing an oxen in front of me.
Right, okay, yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, all right, well, here we go. Gonna fight a griffin. And I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't. And I start to kind of peel back a little bit. And as I'm peeling back, out comes a minotaur trying to fight the griffin.
Right.
And of course, I'm like, oh, well, let me jump into the fight. Worst mistake possible. I died in 3 seconds.
Yep.
But it was just that completely unscripted moment of like, holy shit, these things are all just colliding.
So
and it was great. I love it.
A bit of an indication to the bosses now. So on their health bar, they've got like dots. So you have to wind the health bar down. It'll take a dot off. Some of the enemies have got like 3 or 4 dots. I don't go near them.
Yeah, like no, that was the Minotaur. Here. And that was actually my mistake. As I started going towards the Minotaur and I realized he had 3 dots in full health. And I'm like, ooh, he's going to be hard. Yeah. And as soon as I said that, the griffin freaking landed on me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you died.
So I've not fought a griffin yet. I've been killed by one, but I've not fought involuntary killed by one. I've taken down a couple of Minotaurs now. I've killed quite a few ogres.
Yeah.
I came across the dragon the other day when I was playing. I wanted to go to the village at Harve Village to come. You do a task there, and then you have to go back later on to make sure them lizard people are still gone, which they aren't. But so I'm going back to the village, and there's only one path to the village because it's on the coast. And there's this big fucking dragon in a way. Tried going sideways past it. Nope. Completely wiped out my pawns instantly, one strike them. So I thought, if I go try resurrect them, it'll kill me. So I might as well just let it kill me, and then I can like reload it because I don't want to lose my pawns. And yeah, it was just insane. So I reloaded again, and I managed to go right on the cliff edge and skirt around it without sort of like engaging in a battle this time. But yeah, that dragon, I think I had 4 or 5 health dots on the health bar, and it was just huge, insane, breathed fire, Very scary looking. So yeah, a bit different to the dragons in Skyrim. So yeah, I'm not brave enough to take on a dragon yet.
No, I will crap my pants and run away. Yeah, absolutely. But Dragon's Dogma 2, it continues to shine in my eyes. I know, Mark, you're coming around on it now.
Yeah, I am getting to like it more now, yeah. I found a vocation I like, and my pawn is slightly different now, so I'm getting used to that now as well. But, yeah, the thing is, you see, when you change your vocation, you can always change it back if you want. You go to these pawn guilds or whatever. So my fighter level is still there, so I could go back to being a fighter and carry on the level I used to be. So now I've had to start the thief and start leveling him up now. So as well as your character level, which I'm level 20 now, which increases your stats, I've also got a vocation level. So, right. Like
I believe Gen-Pon, eventually you can merge vocations.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
So I believe like you become like a fighter mage.
Yeah, there are a couple of extra vocations you can unlock early on in a quest,
right,
which is a warrior and a sorcerer.
Yep. I just unlocked those.
Yeah. But yeah, I've heard there's a lot of like different paths you can go. So I suppose that's the alternative to the skill tree, the way they've done that.
Yep.
But yeah, enjoying it. I'm enjoying the story side of it. I've come across, have you been to Checkpoint Town?
Mm-mm.
I'm on my way to Batal to do a quest. And I got the ox cart to Checkpoint Town rather than walk it. It only goes halfway. So I've still got another half distance to get to the town I want to go to. But in this checkpoint time, there's a vendor there who will do forgeries. So if you've got a jail key or a quest item, what you have to give back, he'll do a forgery. It takes him about 7 days. So I've given him the jail key because I know that Captain Brant will want that back when I finish the magistrate quest. So I've got the a forgery of a jail key, so if I ever get put in prison, I've got a key now. And
by the way, remember how I was talking about that stealth mission and I was like getting really turns out I could dress up like a guard
and
go in and was completely fine.
I had to do one where I had to go into the masquerade ball,
mm-hmm.
and you have to put on the tunic, the sort of like regal tunic stuff,
right
and you just blend straight in, then you just walk past the guards and everything.
I got in trouble for running into the castle with I was just a nobody apparently.
So when I did the magistrate, you have to go talk to him, he's in prison. So I went down into there's a guard at the top of the prison steps, it's downstairs,
right,
and he says, oh, Captain Brant's said to expect you can go down. So right. Oh great, he's let me down there. I go down there, there's like guards walking around. As soon as they see me, they start attacking me.
Yeah. That's the mission I was talking about.
Yeah, and they all come at me and they killed me. But
they didn't
kill me because I got out of the
they put you in prison.
I was down and they left me alone, and then I sort of like got up a few seconds afterwards and brushed it off, and then I tried again. They didn't put me in prison. I thought they would have done.
Interesting. They put my hands behind my back. They bound me, and then they threw me in a jail cell. I had to bribe my way out of the jail cell. Cost me all my gold, which pissed me off.
Yeah.
So
I went down again, and this time I kept out of the way of the guards. I watched the pattern, and then as soon as the backs were turned, I went to the cell, opened the door, and went in to talk to the magistrate. And
if you found the guard's armor... You can put armor on and just go down and be no problem.
So I still don't know how to do stealth in this game.
You can't really do stealth.
No.
It's you have to wear disguises.
Right.
Disguises is the stealth.
So that's got a hitman. That's got a hitman element to it.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of everything in this game. Yeah, hitman uses disguises, doesn't he, to get into areas.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really enjoying it. Like I said, I like the combat now. The map is huge. You don't realize how big the map is. Yeah, I'm still a bit annoyed at the fast travel. I've got 2 fairy stones now, but I didn't use them because they're so rare and scarce.
I've been getting those and the wake stones.
I've got a few.
I found a number of those, and the seeker stones, and I'm afraid to spend the seeker stones, but I guess.
No, you want to do because when you give the seeker tokens to the people who take them off you, depending on how many you've given in total, it tallies up, and you get rewards. So your first reward for your first seeker token is a fairy stone.
Oh, okay.
And then, there you go.
And then when you hand five in, I've only handed three in yet. I found another one. I've not handed it. When you hand five in, there's another reward. I can't remember what it is. And then there's like different levels for different numbers, and you get different rewards, and they get better and better.
Okay.
So yeah. So hand them in. Don't keep them. Hand them in.
All right. I will.
I found quite a few golden beetles now, which increase your carry capacity.
Yes, and I think I got poisoned by something other than the beetle.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I've done a few of them beetles now. I'm always cautious now, thinking, oh, am I going to get poisoned? But now I think your timing was a bit bad luck there.
I think it was one of those coincidental moments because I used two beetles quickly, and then suddenly I realized I was poisoned. But I think I was poisoned probably prior to that and just not knowing
it. Did you eat something what was off rotten food before to try heal yourself? So have you met Mildred yet in the town, main town? Is it Vermont?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah. So she lets you use her house for free?
Yes.
Sorry, have you done that?
I started using the house. I've slept there like two nights or three nights.
Yeah, okay. So after a week, she comes back and then she'll... I don't know if I should tell you or not.
It's right. I'll find out.
Just visit her again because it's worth it. Right. Yeah, it's really worth it. It's cost you quite a bit of gold, but it's worth it.
I also came across the Queen's son, Prince. Yes. The courtyard.
You lend him some money, don't you, to buy a trinket? Yep. Yeah, but then you don't know he's a Queen's son at first. You think he's just a vagabond, don't you? But quite a good storyline. Yeah, Sven. Yeah, I've done a few things for him now.
Yep. And if you keep revisiting him, he absolutely keeps helping you. Yeah.
Have you done the quest where you get the identity of the false arisen?
No.
That's quite good. Yeah, that's quite good. You visit another town, it's full of thieves and that, and that's quite a good good quest line.
I did get food poisoning. Thanks, Kim. Not the first time, won't be the last time.
Right.
So there's so much to this game, and like just me and Greg alone, our story experiences are completely different to each other's. And I reckon every time you play this game, it'll be a completely different experience every time, which is a really good thing because the replay value is really good. Oh, yeah, like I said,
tremendous replay value.
In this checkpoint town, this guy who does the forgeries, right? I saw him and I went to another shop to see what they had. And he's wailing on about his son has been taken by wolves, and that's a side quest. So I'm doing that now. So I'm trying to find these wolves who have taken his son. So I've gone off on a tangent going to this Batal town to see this guy. I'm now trying to find this guy's son. So I thought that was part of a priority. Yeah,
the side quests are huge because you'll get at points in the main story. I'm at a point where I'm trying to find a place with many tomes for a character to say he's willing to leave his prison.
Yeah, cell. Yeah.
And
I've done
no clue where the hell that is.
No, I haven't. No.
Yeah. So now,
it doesn't help you. There's no.
It doesn't help you at all. I have to imagine
it just says undiscovered, doesn't it, on the quest item?
Yeah. So I have to. At some point, you'll discover it. For now, I'm just going off and doing side quests. So
I'm hoping that when I'm wandering around, a pawn will turn and say, "Oh, that's an ideal place for so and so of a magistrate or whatever." Yeah.
All right. Well, let's put a bow on that for now. Dragon's Dogma 2 continues to shine. Let's play some Metacritic Madness. Mark.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So I've picked the year 2010. Well,
hold on, Mark. Hold on.
Sorry.
All right. Now everybody get set. Get away from the windows. Now look. Good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Too bad. Tough.
So we do have a sound clip. Yes, I picked the year 2010, which was a really good year for gaming. Okay. So, are you guys ready?
Here we go.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Ladies first, Greg. Right, no, I mean, sorry, Kim. So the first game is on Xbox 360, mm-hmm. and it is Fallout New Vegas.
Oh.
Right, I don't think this was on PS3, because I can only find the 360 version on Metacritic. But yeah, Fallout New Vegas. I've not played this. I've got it on PC. I think it was free on Green Man Gaming. That GOG, whatever it is, GOG thing.
Oh, yeah, good old games.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was. I got it a code for that ages ago, and I've still not played it, but I have got access to it. But I've heard it's good. A lot of glitches, but I've heard it's a really good story.
It was a community favorite, I know that.
Yeah.
88.
88 for Kim. Should get a pension. Or are you taking notes, Greg?
Yeah, I'm putting down our guesses. Kim, I'm going to say 91.
And Greg says 91. So the nearest person is Kim. The Metacritic was 84.
Ooh.
So Kim was only 4 off there. Right, so switching over to the PS3. And this was quite a controversial game. A lot of people loved it and a lot of people hated it. Duke Scaff. Heavy Rain on the PS3. Jason. If you've played it, you'll know what that means. So Heavy Rain on the PS3. David Cage and his directorial masterpiece.
I'm going to say 82.
82 for Greg. Kim, what do you think?
85.
85. Wow, Kim was so close. And Kim does it again. 87.
No.
Well done, Kim. 2 off. That's very close. Right, and this one, I loved this game. This was another 360 game, and it is Dante's Inferno.
Nice.
Did you play this back in the day?
I did.
With a 7 layers of hell? Yeah, I loved this game. Really good. Some great enemies in this game. So Dante's Inferno on the Xbox 360. What do you think, Kim?
87.
Greg, what do you think?
Let's say 79.
Right. So this scored lower than I thought it would do.
And wow.
Greg is nearer this time. It was 73.
Wow.
Yeah, I had expected that to be a lot higher.
Right.
It was quite well received with the community, wasn't it? So I remember once Parsnip Nose left his Xbox on overnight while he was playing this game, and he was in the sex area, the glutton one or whatever it was, or whatever. And for 24 hours, it just said Parsnip Nose is in the level of whatever it was. What's the thing for the sex bit? I can't remember. Not gluttony, was it?
Lust.
Yeah. So his passing was, he's in the lust area for 24 hours, and it was funny. Back in the G4T days, there was a lot of stick given to him. So, yeah. Yes, Kim, I think it would be a library lap.
By the way,
mm-hmm.
winner.
Overall,
because the last one is what helped me, obviously.
Yeah, made the difference, yeah, right.
Kim was off by 14, which really helped.
Oh, wow, yeah, and I thought that. Yeah, because I remember when I played last time, the last one for me helped get me. Yeah, so well done. Great. So, yeah.
It's like I can't really brag, though, because I only won by 2 points. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Kim.
Although Kim, mm-hmm. got two wins overall.
She did. She bested beyond those two, for sure. But Dante's Inferno was the trip.
Yeah.
The stumble.
Yeah, so yes, for so much choice on 2010. I could have had Red Dead. I thought that was a bit too obvious.
2010 was a great year for games.
Yeah, it was a good year. Yeah, it was a lot. It was Call of Duty, Black Ops. It was loads.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I played a lot of Black Ops.
Well, there's no stopping us going back to 2010 again anyway, is there? So, yeah. I'm picking different games.
All right. Well.
Yeah. So, very good.
Not being kind of War Clone. It was big. Yeah, I was just noticing Mr. Matthews' comments on the chat. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into just a little bit of news. Not much.
Okay.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So this week, Embracer CEO says it's too early to start buying studios again. Now, there's important context to this comment.
Right.
Because on Friday, The company confirmed the sale of the Borderlands developer Gearbox to Take-Two Interactive, a deal worth $460 million. The deal marked the end of a nine-month money-saving operation, which saw the sale of and closure of many studios, the cancellation of nearly 30 games, and more than 1,300 jobs cut. So surprisingly, on the day of the restructuring was completed, CEO Winge Fors was asked in an investor call whether Embracer was ready to start acquiring studios again. He said it was too early. I'm like,
duh,
way too early. Right. They're barely able to keep what they get. That was, I mean, honestly, I was like, there's no way they're buying more studios, but maybe that's their, that maybe that's their end game, because certainly it feels like what they purchased before and now what they're selling them for, it feels like they're selling them for a higher value than what they actually bought them for. I would need to look at what they acquired, say, Gearbox for, but I feel like $460 million was more than what they originally acquired them for.
Probably, yeah.
So I thought they got them in like a fire sale kind of deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Take-Two, same as 2K Games, because weren't the Borderlands game published by 2K? Or is Take-Two a different company?
Yes, 2K is part of Take-Two Interactive.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, because they published a game, so they have bought it outright of it.
Yep. All right, just a couple little headlines to discuss. Dragon's Dogma 2 update adds frame rate cap and ray tracing toggle options. We talked about this earlier.
It's already out on PS5. It's still to
come. Already out and coming soon to the Xbox Series. Halo and COD support studio Certain Affinity lays off 25 staff. Not a massive layoff, but a continued layoffs happening throughout the industry, I guess, is the subtext on that. Mm-hmm. 2K has confirmed that the next Borderlands game is in active development. So, hence why they were willing to buy Gearbox. The next Borderlands game is coming.
Right.
And then what nobody, I think, was asking for, but we're going to get, apparently, is images of a white all-digital Xbox Series X console reportedly leaked.
So no optical drive in it?
No.
Correct. Completely digital. It will have 2 terabytes of storage from what the leak showed. I think they said some improvements on internals, like heat pipe sinks were better or better optimized, that kind of thing, but nothing like crazy over the top. And it'll, I think, be roughly $100 cheaper. I think they were saying it was going to come out at $450 versus $550. So there's that. But I don't think I'm not shopping for current gen consoles at this point. I'm more curious to see what the next gen or what the PS5 Pro looks like. What, you know, how big is that comparatively speaking?
Yeah.
Okay. We have some new releases to talk about.
We do.
Are you good to talk about that?
I think so. I mean, there's only so many. So anyway, new releases for March 31st to April 6th are Deceit 2 for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S on April 3rd. Freedom Planet 2 for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on April 4th. And Turbo Golf Racing for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC on April 4th as well. So there you go. A lot of new games. So many. Yeah.
Okay. I think we can talk about real quickly play dates. I was watching over Kim's shoulder, lurking behind her. We have Halo Wednesday nights coming. So Mark will be Wednesday night. Yes.
Yeah. She'll be here. Yep. And we can do, if we, like you say, if we've got quite a few of us, we can do some more custom games or big battle mode. But yeah, it's good fun.
And are you going to put the poll back up for Fatal Fridays? Is that going to be a thing still or no? Are we killing the poll? Yeah.
There was no Fatal Friday this week because Rob wasn't coming on and a few other people. We've been Good Friday. I thought people might be going out or whatever. So,
right.
I said if anyone's on and they see me on, just jump in. I was on with the kids doing Fortnite anyway, so I was on Friday night doing Fortnite. Right.
I might try and resurrect the claw.
Yeah, I'll put the poll back in for this Friday. So,
all right.
Yeah, we could have a choice of the usuals: Battlefield, PUBG, Fortnite, Lethal Company, and stuff like that.
Excellent. I'm going to do some shout-outs since Kim is busy at the moment. CP Matthew in the chat, thank you so much. I think Lord was in there for a brief period of time. Look, if you're listening to the show live, join the chat, hang out, talk. I know we came on a little bit later than normal, so there's that. We'll be back to our normal time next week, back in at 12 p.m. on the West Coast, because that is the best coast time. 3 p.m. on the East Coast, 2 p.m. in the Central Time Zone, and of course, 8 p.m. in the UK. We are going to publish a audio version of this podcast, so you definitely can download it and listen to it while you're on the treadmill. So good to be back to the gym. Look, if you are watching us, if you are subscribed to us somewhere, give us a review. Do the subscribe, like, all that, the social media jazz the kids do. Do it. And watching Kim stab herself in the back with that doorknob. Kozan's cough, still there.
Kozan's just popped in the chat as well, so he's waving.
All right. Cheers to there, Kozan. Cheers. Of course, you're at the end of the show, unfortunately. But nonetheless, thanks. Just rewind. Go back. Watch it again. All right. Let's do some shout-outs. Mark, start us off.
I want to shout out Peachin. He has resurrected. He hasn't sunk. He has put out a new tiller and rudder video on YouTube. I posted a comment and thought, Pete, you're alive. I miss you. And he replied. So, yeah, he's doing well. So, yeah, it was nice to see his big ginger face again. Big shout out to Pete. And a shout out to Chris and Lord for the questions this week. Especially Chris, because he's there every week with the questions. So thank you very much. Really appreciate him.
He thinks of good questions. He does.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. Gets your bread, man. Yeah. Kim's still busy, so I don't know if you'll do your shout-outs first, Greg. Yeah.
I can do the shout-outs and hand it. And worst-case scenario, we'll just, cover Kim's shout-outs.
Just cut off.
Thanks for everybody for being on the podcast. Thanks to the two of you for being here. We greatly appreciate it. Of course, we love our community members, so shout out to them. Come back next week. We'll be on. We'll hang out. We'll have some fun, although I won't be on because I'm going to be in hell dealing with estrogen levels just unimaginable. So wish me luck with that. On that note, we can kill the show now. Have a great time, everybody.
Kim's waving.
I know. Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Kat.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.